Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, the scriptures tell us in Psalm 11:3 that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Morning, folks. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit here today at Coach Dave Live, whatever we call this thing that we're doing there, Pass the Salt, Coach Dave Live, the huddle. I welcome you in. Honored to be sitting behind this desk as usual. A lot of stuff to talk about. I know I say that a lot, but I got a lot of stuff. Thank God I got some sleep last night. I looked at a little bit of that replay I had yesterday. I looked like I'd had a hard night drinking, man, a puffy face and everything. Well, that's because I'd been up all night and got some good sleep. Went to bed about 8 o'clock, fell asleep about 8:15, and woke up about 5:30 this morning here, ready to roar. And just appreciate all of you being with us. And a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff buzzing. People have been asking me through email, different places, what's the next step, Coach? What's the next step in regards to what you did with Hillary? And there's something happening here. You guys have heard me sing that song before. There's something going on. And I said all along that what I wanted to do is I wanted to light a match. I want to start a spark to the dry tinder that's out there in America. As I was doing some research this morning, I was overwhelmed, amazed I just know this to be true, how little we know. Talking about us in general. Now, maybe not those of us who are awake and red-pilled, but the American populace in general, how little we know, how much we've been programmed, and how we have what little understanding we have, not only of biblical principles, but history, and how those two coincide, and how we've rejected all the basic precepts of modern America. Western civilization has rejected all the precepts that made us great. So the battle that we're facing is that the folks who are in positions of control, however they got there, and let's make no mistake about it. Psalm 2 says the kings of this world. Jared, pull that up there for us real quickly if you can. I hate to keep playing this verse over and over, folks, but it's so critical to me. It's so critical to where we are. We would understand. We are, as I said yesterday, I was on the Hagman Report last night. I want to thank God bless Doug Hagman for giving me that huge platform to talk about what we did and why we did it. But until we understand spiritual issues and what's going on and what's happened to us, you're never going to get your floor dry to figure out where the leak is, where the water is coming in. And we keep throwing down paper towels and wiping it up and not understanding what's going on. And until we get it right, until we shut off the spigot, nothing's going to happen. That's why it says in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Folks, don't you understand that we're a captured nation? Don't you understand that Washington, D.C. has been captured? Washington, D.C., our federal government is under the control of a beast system. Now, that beast system has been bought. That's why the scriptures tell us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money, the love of money is not evil. The love of it is the root of it. The love of it to the point where you won't give it away. And you want more and more and more and more and more of it. And our elected officials, that's why we saw, in my opinion, that's why we saw back in the midterms, nearly 60 Republican senators, or I'm sorry, congressmen did not seek re-election. They didn't seek re-election because they're corrupted. They've been corrupted by Clinton money, deep state money. This is, you know, if we have any justice system at all, this all will come out, but I don't know if it's all going to come out or not. I don't know. I'm telling you, I really don't know. So therefore, because men and women who are in positions of control and being controlled in the in the background, the man behind the curtain with money, dark forces, dark money, buying off for elected officials. We know that this Alexia Cortez in New York, from what I understand, this is my personal belief, that there's a group out there that actually held auditions for that position. To run for that, they were looking for a certain type of person to represent their values. And so they held auditions, and Ocasio-Cortez, she won the audition as the type of person that they were looking for. And that she's pretty much doing the bidding of the people who put her into office. Do you understand that she won an election? She's now a national figure, and she won an election with about 17,000 votes. Not winning by 17, but got about 17,000 votes. She got that many votes. And those who are controlling her behind the scenes have now generated enough attention towards her that their agenda is, do you see what's going on, folks? And for some reason, somewhere along the line, we as Christians, we decided that we were going to take a hands-off approach to government, and government's dirty, and don't mix politics and religion, and there's a separation between, and all those lies, and we've pulled back. And the fact is, we have denied and ignored a very basic understanding of America, that we are what? A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And when I went to Hillary Clinton's house on Monday, as much as I try to pound this in people's heads, they don't understand it. I said, when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, he was my employee. He worked for me. Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, she was our employee. She worked for us. And until we come to the realization that those people are part of a cabal, whatever you'd want to call it, a group of people who have seized control of our government, a coup has already taken place. They talk about another coup trying to overthrow Donald Trump. No, friends, a coup's already taken place. The government has been seized by the people and has been grabbed a hold of by a small group of people known as an oligarchy. We're calling it the deep state. That is the government control. Now, Donald Trump flies onto the scene and he comes in. He's not part of this oligarchy. I don't believe he's not part of the oligarchy. And Donald Trump comes into this picture and all of a sudden he sees this deep state cabal. He was probably somewhat aware of it before. He understood what was going on. But as he got in there and he saw the connections and how deep it went, he had to sit back and he had to make some decisions. You can't fight on too many fronts. You can't see. I hear people say all the time, but I hear people say, well, it's the Masons and it's the Jews. Behind the scenes, it's the Zionist Jews. And see, listen, folks, I don't argue with any of that stuff. I don't argue with any of that. But when Donald Trump came into office and he saw the many different fronts upon which the devil, the enemy, was attacking America, you cannot cut down five trees with one saw. You can't do it. So he had to look at where the power and the control was as he saw it at that time. Remember, the entire Republican Party was against him. Why? Because the kings of the earth had set themselves and the rulers had taken counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. So as Donald Trump looked out over the speck, if the church could open their eyes and see this and understand, we wouldn't be as confused. So as Donald Trump looked across the land and said, man, I can take down this one, but this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. Man, these guys, this whole thing is attacking me. But where is the greatest power right now? Which is the one that I can focus my attention on and take out? And that, I believe, is the one that he's attempting to take out now. And is he connected with some groups that probably aren't righteous? I think he probably is. I think he is. Is there undue Zionist Jewish influence in the White House? I don't think there's any doubt there is. Is there undue other? I mean, you pick it. You pick it. Yeah. But he has to focus on one area. And that's what I think. That's what I think is going on. And so when I went to Hillary Clinton's house, I went with this sole purpose, to try to awaken the heart of men to reclaim our government. But see, the church will never reclaim the government if the church doesn't think we're supposed to. Christians think we're evacuating. And if we're evacuating, then we'll just leave this whole land into the devil. But see, folks, the scripture says, the Lord said, occupy till I come. Hold on to this place till I come back. And he has not come back. And our responsibility and our duty is to hang on to it. Occupy it till he comes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us not our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Well, folks, how do they deliver you from evil? See, evil, Jesus said, deliver us from evil in this present world, not in the world to come. If you're saved, certainly you're okay in the world to come, but we are to be delivered from evil now. How do we do that? How do we deliver from evil? We have to get involved in the government, in the politics. We have to get involved in what's going on in society. We can't retreat and do Easter egg hunts and have that be the focus of our year. We can't do that. How can we celebrate Easter egg hunts when our unborn children, 60 million, are dying, when marriage is being destroyed right in front of us? Our job is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Why can't we get this? It's deep. Lord himself says in 2 Thessalonians, the Lord himself would send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie, and we believe the lie. We're believing the lie. We're believing the lie. I'm going to show you something. I just want to show you folks that I hear from the Lord, all right? Said, boy, that sounds arrogant. Well, no, it doesn't sound arrogant. You could hear from him too. If you'd get some of the junk out of your life, some of the sin out of your life, quit focusing on athletics and spending all your time listening to Rush Limbaugh and all that stuff. If you pulled back a little bit, let some of the fog clear, you'd be able to hear a little bit. You'd be able to see and understand a little bit. And I told somebody yesterday, for 10 days, I resisted the urge to go do what I did in New York. I resisted it. I heard his voice. I heard the Lord's voice. I knew I was supposed to go. I didn't know why. I knew I was supposed to. And I talked to some people and say, oh, that's crazy. Because you're going to get yourself killed. Hey, I'm already a dead man. What are you talking about? The FBI's already visiting me. What do you mean? What? I'm going to go hide? I'm not going to do that. And so I listened to what? Oh, yeah. I listened to those other voices, right? Oh, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's Psalm 1, isn't it? Isn't that Psalm 1, Jared? Pull that up there real quickly. It's funny, isn't it? That David started out writing about those two things. Blessed is the man that walketh. Blessed is the man that doesn't sit around and listen to sinners and get advice from sinners, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And if he does it, he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And I'm going to bring forth my fruit in my season, and my leaf shall not prosper, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly aren't like that. The ungodly are not like that. They're like the chaff which the wind drive away. Do you understand that the godly remain in the... Folks, the ungodly are the ones that are going to be blown away like chaff. The ungodly are the ones going to be bundled up and burned. Just read it in your scriptures. Wash your head. Shake your head. Get out of your head the stuff that you've been taught. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind will drive away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. See, it's not the way of the godly that are going to perish. Oh, boy. So I said, listen, we got to do something here. We got to wake people up. I'm going to quit listening to the ungodly. And I got a prodding. I got a call. I won't say who it is. Doesn't matter. He knows. It doesn't matter. I said, Coach, are you going to do that thing that you talked about? Called me on Saturday, I think it was. And I said, yep. Hey. That was the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord prompted somebody else to poke me. Are you going to do that or not? And right there at that moment, I knew it was confirmation from the Lord. And I said, yeah, I'm going Monday. And I did it. Now you say, Coach, why did you do that? Well, because the Holy Spirit asked me to. The Holy Spirit asked me to do it. And I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And I'm going to bring forth fruit in my season and in my time. And I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to go around people who are going to give me spiritual advice, who haven't had their head outside of church in years, have no idea what's going on. I'm not going to listen to them. Oh, they may be the world's experts on religion. They may have all that right, but they ain't worth a pot of whatever to what's going on in the world. They're of no use to God. They are of no use to God. Oh, they're okay. They're all tied up in a bow and ready to go on a rapture bus, but they're of no use to God. Somebody say amen for me. You know what I'm talking about. You don't have to say amen. I ain't doing it for your amens.
Amen, Coach.
Yes, sir. Hey, Jerry, I'm going to show you something. See, the Lord is doing something. The Lord is waiting. That's hard to believe, isn't it? The Lord was waiting for me to be obedient. He was waiting for me to be obedient. And I'm just going to show you something that blew me away when I got up this morning. I couldn't believe it. Jerry, go to that one that says Rush on Fox News. I'll listen to Limbaugh every once in a while. I told you he's a play-by-play announcer. That's why I listen to him. Go clear down the bottom, Jerry. There's a video. You may have to click on it and go to Twitter and then play it. On down, another one. On down, Jerry. On down. There it is. There's a picture. Okay, now this is on Twitter, so you may have to click through and then click through and hold it. But I want you guys to listen. I'm a fire starter. Sorry. Now, this is on April 23rd. When did I go to Chappaqua, New York? I went to Chappaqua, New York on the 22nd. Mark that date, 4/22/19. Keep that date in your mind. Maybe it would have started. So say, Coach, you sure acting like you're important. No, I ain't important. I'm obedient. I struck a match and $20 billion later, Target got the picture. I struck a match and Kim Davis got out of jail. You understand? I struck a match and Ken Hovind got released from prison. Yeah, are you guys picking this up here? See, I'm not saying there's something great about me. I'm just not denying my anointing. I'm just not denying what the Lord has called me to do. So I go and I make that video, and I told everyone who would listen or anybody who wanted to listen, I said, listen, this is a spark. Something is going to grow out of this. And I get up this morning and I want you to listen to this out of the mouth of Rush Limbaugh. Hey, listen, I didn't get it from Limbaugh, all right? This idea didn't come from Coach Dave to Limbaugh and then I went to New York. This idea came from the Lord and it came to me and then it went to Rush Limbaugh. You say, boy, that sounds arrogant. Well, that shows how spiritually disconnected you are. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Hillary Clinton demanding at Trump. You talk about sour grapes. This is a woman's been rejected by the American people twice, rejected by her party in 2008. She had to rig the primaries against crazy Bernie in 2016 to get the nomination. She is the last person who ought to be listened to about what ought to happen to Donald Trump. She hasn't accomplished anything anywhere near what Donald Trump has accomplished. She is in no position here to sit here and say what she saw in the Mueller. Well, she can say it. She's an American. But she doesn't have any credibility on any of this as far as I am concerned. Well, and I'm not alone there.
Jared Kushner also spoke at the conference today. And I know you talked about this today. Here he is talking about how much
this.
The Russians actually did
great.
On Facebook. Yeah, let's play that.
I think the investigations and all of the speculation that's happened for the last 2 years has had a much harsher impact on our democracy than a couple of Facebook ads. I mean, they spent about $160,000. I spent $160,000 on Facebook every 3 hours during the campaign. So, you know, if you look at the magnitude of what they did and what they accomplished, I think the ensuing investigations have been way more harmful.
Very interesting to hear from him today.
Hang on,
a lot of other things, Rush.
Well, here's the thing. He's right. Martha, everybody, yeah. America, please. There was never any evidence of collusion between Trump and Russia. The collusion, as I said, was Hillary, the DNC, and the Russians via Steele. But the Russians, when Mueller announced the indictments of the Russian troll farm, it was Rosenstein who went out and announced them, and nobody paid any attention to this, but he said at the end of the announcement, nothing in these indictments suggests a single vote was changed. Nothing suggests the outcome of any election was changed. No American is named in the indictment having to do with it. Martha, there was never any evidence for this. There was never, Mueller never, when he got the file from Comey, it was empty. All they had was the dossier, and we all know that it was made up. It was opposition research. This was not even an investigation of Trump. What it was an attempt to overthrow the 2016 elections. And the Mueller investigation, I believe, was actually many things, including a cover-up and a distraction to keep people from understanding what really happened. Donald Trump accomplished one of the greatest achievements of his life, against all odds, with no assistance. His own party wasn't even that much behind him.
I can't figure why it's taking this long. Stop a minute, Jared. I'm sorry. Scroll on down to the very bottom. To the very bottom, Jared. I messed that up. I'm sorry, folks, to put you through that 2 minutes of blather from that loud mouth. Scroll on down to the very – there's another one. Now go back up. Daggone it. I hate it when this happens. right there should be it. That should be it. And that should only be about a minute and a half. Is that the one we had up, Jared? Because the one. Okay, keep going then. Keep going. Because here, go ahead. Yeah, we're about there. We're about there. Okay. I'm sorry, folks. I'm impatient here today. He's going to call right there. Try turn on right there, Jared. Yep, it's not working. Okay, let me tell you what. I'm sorry. Donald Trump, Rush Limbaugh, what did he do yesterday? He called for the indictment of Hillary Clinton. Who did? Rush Limbaugh called for the indictment of Hillary Clinton. Try it. I'm sorry.
A presidential election, Martha. Hillary Clinton and her pals in the Obama Department of Justice and the FBI, they are the ones who colluded with the Russians. They are the ones that gave us this entirely, totally bogus Steele dossier. For Hillary Clinton, you know about irony? For Hillary Clinton to be talking about impeaching Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton needs to be investigated, she needs to be indicted, and she needs to be in jail. And many of her co-conspirators in this whole sordid affair, which amounted to nothing more than a silent coup to overturn the election results of 2016, Hillary Clinton demanding it, Trump, you talk about sour grapes. This is a woman who's been rejected by the American people twice.
Rush Limbaugh called for the indictment of Hillary Clinton. Has anybody heard that before? Has anybody heard that before the spark was started at Chappaqua, New York? I said, boy, you sure are taking some credit for some stuff. I'm just telling you. You hear the voice of the Lord and you obey. And then the Lord's responsible for what happens as a result of it. Somebody come on in. It's been 22 minutes here and I've been rambling.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Thank you, brother. I'm here. Anybody? Nope. Nobody has anything to say?
Dave, I'm just going to say that, you know, you're setting a, you're trying to, I think, elevate people to hear from the whole, when they hear from the Holy Spirit, to take action.
I mean, I do what he tells you to do.
That's what this ministry is all about. The listening and then making application, getting out there and doing it.
Amen, Chad. Amen. Listen, folks, I didn't do anything more than what you can do. I was just obedient. Has anybody, I don't know, I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh regularly. Has anybody heard him use that word, indict Hillary Clinton? Wasn't that what was on our poster? Indict Hillary? Indict Hillary? Has anybody heard Rush Limbaugh use that language before? See, it has to start somewhere, folks. See, I hear Right Wing Watch right now. They're writing their article saying Coach Dave's saying he influenced Rush Limbaugh. No, I'm not. I'm saying the Holy Spirit did. I'm saying the same Holy Spirit that influenced Dave, Coach Dave, influenced Rush Limbaugh. Don't you understand how electric wires work? Don't you understand how connections go? Don't you understand that the same Holy Spirit that speaks to me is the same Holy Spirit that can speak to Rush Limbaugh and he doesn't even know it? He doesn't know it's the Holy Spirit. He thinks it's an idea he came up on by himself. It's the same idea that can be spoken to Jim Jordan. It's the same idea that can be spoken to the Oath Keepers. It's the same idea. We cannot win this war. We cannot occupy if we don't go to the front. If we don't go to the war front, we cannot occupy.
And Dave, I'm just going to say that it was a trigger.
See, so I said,
how many more? It's like it was a trigger. How many more triggers are there that God's calling people to do something, say something, insert themselves into something to kick off something else?
Chad, you got it, man. You got it. See, I never dreamed when I went to Target. I just went to Target because the Lord told me to go to Target and stand up against those ungodly bathroom rules. And I went and it went viral. I didn't make it go viral. The Lord made it go viral. Wake up! cost him $20 billion. When I went down to Pensacola, Florida, I went down there to help Ken Hovind get out of jail. What am I going to do to get Ken Hovind out of jail? I don't know, but I'm going to show up and I'm going to try to do something. And then, boom, the Holy Spirit breathes on it, and Ken Hovind gets out of jail. One of the greatest upsets in the history of jurisprudence down in Pensacola, Florida. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And then they put Kim Davis in jail, and the Lord says, go down there and fight for Kim. Now, are you kidding me? Yeah, so we went down and we fought for Kim Davis, and what happened? The Holy Spirit begins to work through other people. You just light a match, go. It can happen right in your own communities, folks, right in your own communities. And I'm believing that this indict Hillary spark has been lit, and she ain't going to get out from under it. There ain't anywhere she can run, but she cannot hide. The Holy Spirit has issued indict, because we will not have government. We will never have free government in America if this criminal goes off scot-free simply because her father, the devil, in my honest opinion, has declared it so. But my daddy said, Coach, you go say indict, and I'm going to do something that's going to smack her daddy down. My daddy's bigger than her daddy. Young folks, are you with me at all? You with me? And so when I say this, some of you are going to think, well, boys, that guy big-headed, and boy, is he, wow, he sure thinks he's something. You're missing the whole point. The Holy Spirit's something, and the Holy Spirit's looking for triggers. Amen. He's looking for triggers. He's looking for us to do something that he can breathe upon. Somebody else. You guys, you see this? To me, when I saw that video of Limbaugh using the word indict, go to jail, I heard it from him today about Phil Over. I'm going to tell you something else I know. I don't know this, but I know. I know him. I know her. Rush Limbaugh played golf with Donald Trump last week. I wonder what Rush knows that we don't know. And I wonder if...
That's a mic drop, Coach.
Huh? It's a mic drop.
I've said no, that's a mic drop because everybody is talking that, but I'm not hearing that bleed out from... I don't know, the Republicans or the judicial system, what, about indictment, not only of her, but of Comey and Barack Obama. They've already indicted his attorney when he was the sitting president.
See, Dale, here's the thing, brother. Normally, they start the bottom and go up. I think on this one, they're going to start the top and go down. They cut off the head of the queen. Ooh, baby. The subjects are going to fall. It's normally the other way around. That's why I knew in my heart my goal was not Washington, D.C. What's Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals? Jared, can you pull those up real quick? You think you can find those? See, the Holy Spirit, there's nothing new under the sun. The Holy Spirit knows the same rules as Saul Alinsky. Holy Spirit knows the same rules as the devil. Folks, this is blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hey, Jared, go on down. Pick a target. What's this? There they are. Going. Never go outside your expertise. Going down. Never go outside. Verse 4, make the enemy that ridicules man's most potent weapon. Hey, there it is. There it is, Jared. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Threat's usually more terrifying. Go ahead. Next one down, Jared. Next one down. Push a negative hard enough. Price of a successful tax construction. Pick the target. Freeze it. Personalize it. And polarize it. That'd be Hillary Clinton. We're going to pick that target. We're going to freeze it. We're going to personalize it. And we're going to polarize it. We're going to do that. And I believe that Almighty God wants to see, we read it yesterday, the Lord wants judgment. He wants justice. He wants that more than anything. He wants it. We cannot teach justice and judgment to our children if those in the highest office in the land are able to get away with it. And as I said to you yesterday, high crimes and misdemeanors has to do with a higher authority, a higher responsibility, a higher level of conduct expected of those in high office. That if Hillary Clinton breaks even the smallest law, it's far worse than anybody else doing it. It's a high crime. It's violation of the public trust, a violation of the public. Why do you think they had lynchings? Why do you think that they had pitchforks and what to carry with them? Torches? Because unjust, unrighteous government is, my friends, intolerable.
Hey, Coach.
That's the message of the Bible. It's the message of the Bible. It's intolerable. Come on in. I got lost up.
They had to go with the pitchfork. They had to step outside. That's all we got to do is go and let God work with us.
That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do.
Well, see, I think Hillary will be also. She's a linchpin. She's the elbow on everything else that goes, because you don't think she's going to sing like a canary if she gets in there, be trying to make deals. She's going to drop bombs, and who do you think she has information on?
So, Chad, you mean you don't think she'll take one for the team? You don't think she'll say that, huh? No, somehow I don't think she'll take one for the team either, right? And we already know, as I showed yesterday, I got to watch you. Anyway, some other people that I spoke to. Right now, we know James Comey's. She committed five felonies. Folks, we don't have to go investigate to see whether she did. James Comey said she did. Committed five felonies. And she's have Secret Service protection. I got emails yesterday. Oh, Coach, you've done it now. You've poked a bear now. Oh, you ain't seen nothing from the FBI. What's war? I declared war on them. Do I expect them not to declare war back on me? And I'm not going to be a general that's going to send my army, figuratively. I'm not going to be a football coach that's going to send our team into battle, and I'm not going to go with them. Say, hey, listen, you guys, you go play Dublin. Listen, I'm not going to be able to make it this time. You guys go out there and play that game. Good luck. Hope you win. I'll sit back here and I'll protect the school. That's crazy, right? The general has to go. General has to lead. Now, I'm begging. I'm calling on, as I said on the Hagman report last night, I'm calling on the patriot community. Come on, help me out here. How many patriots? I'm going to hold off just a minute. Right now, there are 36 people in the queue right now. I want every one of you right now to just identify yourself if you were a veteran. Just one at a time. Just start, say, I was. You don't have to tell me who you were. I want to hear how many veterans in this crowd. Go ahead.
I was, Coach.
I was.
I was.
I was.
I was.
Veteran.
Hoorah! I was too.
Hoorah!
Submarine service in Vietnam.
Coach, you give me a sign and I'll walk to DC Mall with it, with Hillary's face on it.
You understand? I got some. This is why the FBI is afraid of me. Do you know why the FBI is afraid of me? Because the enemy knows what's about to be birthed. It's not by accident. Oh, thank you, Lord.
And Coach, don't forget the black lady right for me.
Amen, buddy.
Well, Dave,
it's not by accident. You understand? Listen to me. Listen, they sent the FBI to silence me. The other side did, because they know what's about to be birthed. Are you with me? Yeah.
You're as much of a veteran as anyone who has ever put a uniform on.
Amen.
Thanks, John.
Amen. I'm in this army.
I maybe wasn't in Vietnam. I'm in this army.
Amen.
I'm in this army. And by the millions, there are guys just like you in the queue here. This could be our finest hour, man.
Well, Dave, I was going to say a second. I'm sorry I'm putting in here so much today. But I'm ignited, man. I'm ignited. I can see things very clearly. Okay? The FBI came, let's say, because their daddy knew what your daddy's mission was given to you.
Point. They tried to come and scare me out of my mission.
Right. Now, also, stay with me. This indictment bug now is out there. The trigger's released. Now, Limbaugh, it's national. It's national. He has 15% on the market of all listeners on the radio, Rush Limbaugh. Savage is number one with 25. Anyways, but now it's out there. What else is getting ready to be released? The FISA documents, the FISA with all the names. So the steam is building for the indictment And then when the FISA stuff is released with all of Hillary's in there, that's just, folks, it's just more gravy.
Folks, listen to this. Listen, please, I want you all to hear me, folks, because I hear some of you religious demons out there. Folks, this is not political. This is at the heart of Christianity. This is at the very heart of our Christian nation. This is a spiritual battle. This is not a political one. And if you're so stupid that you can't see the difference of that, then go sit back in your pew, put your pillow over your head, and pray for the rapture. This is a spiritual battle manifesting in the natural. And unfortunately, that looks like politics because that's what you've been trained to believe. There's something unbelievable going on in this nation. And I believe that the Lord has issued, a clarion call to the Joe Silvers of the world. This is it, man. This is our time. Come out of hiding now. Come out now. Donald Trump is looking right now for support. He's looking for support. Can't we drum up thousands of people and show some support? And as I said to the FBI, as I said to the police yesterday, as I said on the Hagman report last night, I come in peace to prevent violence. I don't come with violence. I come in peace to prevent violence. And the kingdom of God has suffered violence. The kingdom of God has already suffered violence. And violent men take it by force, right? Force is not violence. We're going to exert our God-given right as citizens, Christian citizens in the United States of America. We're going to exert our Christian force and say, no more, no more of this. We're not going to let the other side continue to force their deviant agendas down the throat of our children. We're not going to continue to let the government rape us in taxation. I'm just telling you, this is what lays before us if we'll man up and pick up the mantle and do what it is the Lord's called us to do.
Hey, Coach, I'm with you. I am with you, Coach.
Thanks. I'm with me too.
We need to go to the National Mall.
No, we don't. Uh-uh. Listen, I like what you said. Listen, this power is coming outside of Washington, D.C., fellas. We don't need to go to Washington, D.C. We're going to surround Washington, D.C. It ain't about.
So you got to figure out, where are the people? Are they in Washington, D.C.? Are they where you are?
Yeah. That's right.
They're in your town.
I'm thinking about going to my mall here in Buffalo and just having a sign and walking in the mall saying something about Hillary and what she should be indicted for.
Amen. Take those five things I put on it. She's already broken these laws. She's already broken these five laws. It's not even open for debate.
Yeah, right? And make flyers right in each one that you broke so people can read it for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And Amen. The ones you don't know, the Hillary fans, hell with them. Pardon my French. Hell with them.
Amen.
Hell
with them.
We're so trying folks, to worship patriots.
Folks, what do y'all think would be more impactful? Us each going different times to our local courthouse or wherever we want to go individually? Or what if we all went out one morning all over the country, 10, 20 veterans in every little town all at once? First of all, I can't think where it's ever been done. Two, there ain't enough newscasters to get it on the air. But if we all went individually like we've been doing, that's more guerrilla warfare.
Right.
What if they saw us unite? Do you know how scary that would be?
Amen, buddy. Amen. Amen. So I said, Mark, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking for a military planner to pull this whole thing together. There, folks, we win on the numbers alone. As Doug Hagman said, the conversation we had last night, we win on the numbers. We win on the numbers. If just our old veterans would show up, not with weapons, we don't need weapons. Not yet. We don't need weapons. We are going to go and show, we are going to show our force. They'll determine the weapons, not us. It ain't us.
Coach, we got the best weapon. It's the truth.
Say it again, Serge.
We have the best weapon. It's the truth.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen.
We got to reclaim what the enemy has stolen from us. Instead, we are in evacuation preparation. The Lord said his kingdom would come here on earth. Occupy till I come. And most of the church is sitting in the church like it's a rapture bus stop. It goes against everything the Lord teaches, I think.
Coach, truth marches on. It creates the righteousness of God wherever it goes. And amen. Wherever there's no righteousness, there is no justice. We cannot take this out of the picture. I don't care what kind of Christian you are. You can't deny that. That's in Scripture. That's evident, Coach.
Brother, listen. Hey, Jared, can I give you guys a real quick little lesson here? How much time I got? 40 minutes? Okay, I got time to do that. Hey, Jared, click on the Mayflower Compact. Can I give you a little lesson here, boys, a little history lesson? See, listen, our nation has been seized. Our nation has been seized by foreign invaders. We have domestic terrorists who are running our country, domestic enemies. John Brockhoff, I just heard John's voice in there. You know, John was at my house when the FBI came. And as John will tell you, I defended John Brockhoff before the FBI. I said he did his time, 2,714 days. He knew what it was when he did it. He's a free man now. Don't be coming here and trying to paint me dirty because something he did however many years ago. Who do you guys think you are? I didn't say that. That's what I thought. So the Mayflower Compass, see, they tell us it's not a Christian nation. And we've bought into it. Our churches buy into it. Go to my Facebook page, and I made this video on the transgender teacher at our school. And read down through there and read the comments from the high school kids. They're totally and completely brainwashed. Totally and completely. The Mayflower Compact was the first governing document of Plymouth Colony. It was written by the separatists, who, by the way, separated from the government, fleeing religious persecution from King James. I ain't fleeing someplace else, fellas. I got my house. I ain't fleeing, okay? They traveled aboard the Mayflower, their advertisements, tradesmen, and servants, most of whom were referred to as strangers. They were. Mayflower Compact was signed upon the ship of November 11th, 1620, by most adult men, but not by the most crew and adult male servants. How about that? The pilgrims used Julian calendar, as known as the old style dates, which at that time was 10 days behind the Gregorian calendar. In signing the covenant were 41 of the ship's 101 passengers, while the Mayflower was anchored in what is now Providence Harbor with a hook at the tip of Cape Cod. Go on down. This is important for us to understand. Mayflower Landing, 1620, going down. The movement was led to the Reformation of the Pilgrim Church here in Manor House, Scrooby, about 1605, 1606 under the administration. So in other words, Christianity and the government grew out of this Mayflower Compact. By the 11th of June, everyone was in readiness. They got on a boat. They flew to America. They get to America, 100 of them on the boat, 41 of them. Before they ever get off the boat, keep going on down. About 1620, they set sail and speed went to Delhaven. We don't know this history anymore, right? Okay, so the Mayflower Compact on the 11th day of December, before they got off the boat, old style, the exploring party of pilgrims left the ship, the Mayflower, in Cape Cod Harbor, landed at Plymouth, found a place fit for their situation. At least it was the best they could find in any. So they found a place to put their ship to land. They land, the pilgrims land, keep on going down there, and then they signed I want to get to the bottom of this. They get to the Mayflower Compact. Have you ever read it? Are you ready? Here it is. It was November 11th. We ought to be celebrating that day. Lies on the chest. Signers of the important document. Yada, yada, yada. Here it is. The Mayflower Compact. Look at how this starts. This is the first legal document formed in the new world. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign King, Lord King James. So they said, listen, we're not rebelling against the king. We're just separating from him. We are still honoring dread sovereign king. By the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc. He said, listen, we loved our government, but our government got unmanageable for us. We're sorry. Having undertaken, watch this, Jared, does your little marker work? Does your little marker work? Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith. In the honor of our king and the country, a voyage to plant the first colony in northern parts of Virginia, do these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for a better ordering and preservation, furtherance of the ends aforesaid, what? The advancement of the kingdom of faith. And by virtue, here do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and officers from time to time as shall be thought most need in covenant of the general good of the colony, unto which we are all due submission and obedience. It witness herein, whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the reign of our Lord, Sovereign King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and Scotland, the 44th, Anno Domini, 1620. And there they are, the signers. The first legal document signed was a covenant with God in America. And the devil has come in and stolen it.
Amen, Coach.
Pretty plain, isn't it? They can deny it all they want. Do you know what it is? You would walk into the average American church today, they don't have any idea what this is. Hey, anybody heard of, freeze it right there, Jared. Anybody heard of Mr. Stephen Hopkins or Didgeridoo Priest or Thomas Williams or Gilbert Winslow or Richard Bitteridge or George Soule? Or anybody heard of any of those people? No, we haven't heard any of those people. You know why? Because today those people would be Randy Lansford, Jeff Nell, and Mark Trump, and Alan Zeifer, and Brian Cunningham. The names, it's just men. It's just men who stood up and did the right thing. It's we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's just men.
Hey, Coach.
It's just men who signed their names and said, we're done with it. We're separating from it. And so when the First Amendment was written, what was the first thing in the First Amendment? Jared, throw that up there for us real quick. I'm sorry, guys. This is all over me. I got to run through this. First Amendment of the Constitution. The very first thing they mentioned. Because why? They knew their heritage. They understand the heritage. First Amendment, Congress shall make no law. How many laws can Congress make? They can make no laws. And they can make no laws what? Respecting what? The establishment of a religion. Humanism is a religion, and Congress cannot establish humanism as a religion. They cannot do that. Secularism is a religion, and Congress cannot force all of us to follow secularism. So Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I'm going to tell you something. We have dissonance. We have dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance.
We have cognitive dissonance. We can't read. We can't understand what we read. We can't understand. Folks, listen. Prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, if they take your tax dollars and they give it to a school to bring homos into the school, they're prohibiting the free exercise of your faith. They can't do that to you, man. They can't do that. The First Amendment says they can't do that. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So they can't come in and establish humanism. They can't come in and establish secularism. They can't come in and establish transgenderism. They can't bring all these isms. They can't come in and establish creationism. They can't bring all these isms in and make it the doctrine. Congress can't do that. And neither can your local school district. They cannot do it. And if they tell you that you have to come in and pay tax dollars for them to educate your kids in homosexuality, they can't do that. Do you understand this, folks? Do you understand that this is not complicated stuff? They can't do it. I don't care how many congressmen vote for it. They can't do it. Anything that is any law repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. Don't you get it? They want to take your money and kill babies with it. It violates your free exercise of your faith. They can't do it. They don't have a leg to stand on. Other than our government has been seized. David, real quick, Jared, pull up the Davy Crockett quote. Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. We have the right. He was an elected official. Did you know that? Davy Crockett said, we have the right as individuals to give away as much of our own money as we please in charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right to appropriate a dollar of the public money towards it. That's common sense, isn't it? You take my money and give it to somebody coming over the border. The government has the right to do that. What if that violates my religious beliefs? They can't do it. Come on in. I'm not mad.
Hey, Coach. Yep. Louisiana yesterday, the House of Representatives in Louisiana passed 80-10. It's called the Love Life Bill. It's now in the Senate. It's for an amendment to the Constitution of the state of Louisiana that the state of Louisiana does not recognize abortion as a right for women to choose. And brother, it's going to be on the ballot this year where the state, where we as a state are now separating ourselves and refuse to acknowledge. And not only that, that tax dollars can't be used either.
Well, Dale, God bless Louisiana, but Dale, tax dollars can't be used, as we just read it. If it violates your religious beliefs, they can't make you pay it, folks. But how do they do it? Well, they violate your 14th Amendment right. Pull that up there, Jared, 14th Amendment.
No, Coach, how they do it is they don't educate us. Because if they educated us, then we realized that they couldn't do it in the first place.
They couldn't
do it. Keep them dumb, right?
Right. So here's why I went to Hillary Clinton yesterday. Just they use this 14th Amendment all the time. Scroll down to the last sentence, Jared. Huh? Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdictions the equal protections of the law. Why does Hillary Clinton have special protections that I don't have? It's a violation of the Constitution. Why do we put up with it? She has, as Mike Heath said when he was in Maine, equal rights, not special rights. Hillary Clinton has special rights. You understand that? They have special rights. I want equal rights. And I can tell you right now, if we could get a lawful, honest jurist to stand before and make an argument that every tax dollar that you take from me is used for things against my faith, it's a violation of the Constitution. But see, we don't challenge it because we're afraid we're going to get a rigged judge, because we are. Why? Because the other side has taken over all of those positions of authority. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing and the kings of this world conspire together against the Lord and his anointed? Am I making myself clear, or am I just blowing air this morning?
Hey, Coach.
Amen, Coach.
Crystal.
Hey, Coach, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. If we're being led by the Holy Ghost, Coach, this is how powerful, there's how many of us in here? 36. This is how powerful each 36 of us are in our community. Just read this right here. If we're living this life, if we love Jesus Christ, if he's number one, and we separated ourselves from sin, this is how powerful we are right here, Coach, when you read it.
Verse 16 says, and he answered, fear not. Isn't that unbelievable? Why do you not push back against what the darkness that we see right there? It is fear. Well, they're going to throw you in jail. Yeah, they might. And I won't be the first one. Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament standing up for righteousness. Why am I afraid to do that? I don't want to do that, but why am I afraid to? Do we think some of us, do you think we're going to win this war with some of us out having to pay a price? Do you think so? You think the devil's kids are just going to hand it over to us? Fear not, for they that be with us. Oh my goodness. Jared, do you guys see this? For they that are with us are more than they that are with them.
Look at the verse before 15. That's where we are.
Read 17 too, Coach.
Yeah.
Well, I'm heading there. And when the servant, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, and a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. Can you picture this?
Yeah.
And the servant said to him, alas, my master. Woo! What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Woo! Look what I got surrounding me. And he said, first of all, don't be afraid. Because as you can see, those that are with us are a lot more than them. The invisible Amen. Hand of God is with us.
Amen.
And Elijah prayed and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
That's why you went to Hillary's house, Coach. And that's why when you go back to the Senate to mess with that individual, you got that senator up there. That's why he's going to have to listen. Not only Isaiah 60 that you got, verse 1, 2, and 3, But this right here is why you're able to do what you're doing, Coach.
Amen. Amen. And see, we don't believe in the strength and the power of the Lord anymore. That's what's happened. See, they've stripped it all from us, told us there's a separation between the church and state. And hey, listen, you're welcome to be American citizens, but you got those Christian values. No, we can't have any of those. And who do you suppose is behind that? Why, it would be the kings of this earth have set themselves and conspired against the Lord. And is it why? Wow. I think it would probably be those guys, right? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his people. God, Lord, this is so crystal clear to me. So here it is. I only got 5 minutes. Hey, I'm still putting a cry out. I'm putting a cry out to every one of you out there. Waken the patriots. Awaken the patriots. Say, how do I do that? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, ask the Lord what he would have you to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? But I can tell you this, sitting at home on your butt ain't waking nobody. It isn't going to work. And if going to the street doesn't matter, can somebody explain to me why Target's now $20 billion light? Right? Tell me that. Explain that to me. If going to the street doesn't matter, can anybody explain to me why Kim Davis is out of jail? If that doesn't work. If going to the streets doesn't work, can somebody explain to me why Ken Hovind is now out doing ministry again? If going to the streets doesn't work? See, you don't want to go to the streets because you're afraid. And what did we just read there? Fear not. Look at the power that stands behind it. All power and authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. But dude, you go. I'm with you. I got all these angels. I got these chariots. They're ready to fight for you. You go. You go take back what the thief has stolen. Go take back your heritage. Go take back your government. Go take back your children. I'm with you to deliver you. I'm not just with you. I'm with you to deliver you.
Coach, when I'm out on the street with the Bible, Coach, I've seen people high on meth, all kind of different stuff. I can see them coming from 100 yards away or even further. And the devils that was in them, I don't block the sidewalk when I'm out with the Bible. I never block the sidewalk. I stay away from it so that people can walk on by, drive their bikes, whatever they're doing. But most of the time, anytime somebody's full of the devil, they'll bypass me. They'll walk 100 yards around to stay clear of me to get on the other side of the sidewalk 100 yards away from where I'm at. Mm. That's someone that's fully demonically possessed, under the influence of drugs, alcohol, whatever. And that just shows you how much power we have when we're living this life.
Amen. Amen. Righteous. You got to be righteous. He ain't righteous. Don't go out there. You better get yourself right before you go out there. You go out there, the Lord's with you. It's his promise.
Yeah, so, hey, Coach, it happens to me too, what he just expressed.
Yep. They'll do a drive-by puking. That's what I call it. They'll puke on you as they drive by in their car. They'll stick their head out and yell. But other than that, they don't want any part of you. Why? Because my daddy can beat up their daddy, and their daddy knows it. Their daddy taunts, jumps in the car and drives away. My daddy can beat up their daddy. And it's time that we understand it, that he is the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. He is God and King over America. America is his country. And our job as his children is to hang on to it, to occupy it, to preserve it until he comes back. We are the salt of the earth. It's our job. Our job is not to go into Easter Sunday church and go in there and fake, act like we're worshiping the Lord and go out and live like hell. That is a stench in the nostrils of God. It's a stench. And we've let them get away with it. So here's the word for the day. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I obeyed. The spark is lit. And watch what the Holy Spirit's going to do. Rush Limbaugh picked up my words. Now wait. The Holy Spirit's words. I have no influence at all. Unless I open my mouth and speak the oracles of God in obedience to what he told me to do. And then, boy, unleash the power. Remember, final thing. When Jesus does his first miracle and turns the water into wine, and Mary comes up to him, the servants, Mary comes up to him and says, they'd like to have, Lord, they need some wine. He goes and gets it. And he says, well, it's not my time. I can't do that. It's John 1. It's not yet my time. Maybe we can go there real quick, Jared, so I don't stumble through it real quick. I got a minute. John 1. No, there it is. No, right at the beginning. Is it John 3? Maybe it's John. It's John 3. I'm sorry. John 3, verse 1. John 3. Sorry. Hang on with me, folks. No. John 5. I'll keep jumping around. Anyway, at the wedding of Canaan. And here's what happens. She says to them. What's that? I can't believe it. That's always right on my list. John 3, I thought it was. Doesn't matter. But Mary turns to the servants and says this. Here is the power of Christianity. The power of Christianity. Mary turns to, as she spoke to her son. And he says, my time's not yet come. He turned. She turned and said to the servants. There it is. John 2. No. Whatever he says unto you, do it. There it is. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I done with you? My time's not yet come. And then his mother said unto the servants, called him into a huddle and says, listen, boys, whatever he says unto you, do it. That unleashes the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.